North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com is brought to you in part by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern, a great place to stop by while you're out on your holiday shopping this month. Welcome to North Shore Today on Monday. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. Looks like we'll have some sunshine today and temperatures up in the 50s on the North Shore. A little wet weather coming in another day or two, but right now let's just enjoy this fantastic December 7th weather, and it's Pearl Harbor Day today, Rick.
Yeah, 75 years?
Oh, my goodness, wow.
Yeah, 1941, yeah. A day that will live in infamy, and the pictures are still, they're still there. They're still available online, on television, everything else that started, got America directly involved in the World War II. You know, I've not been to the memorial, the Arizona Memorial, but I have landed, on Hawaii, and coming in, you see Pearl Harbor off to your left as you're landing, coming in from Kauai, and you get, it's an eerie feeling seeing that, because you can see the memorial from the air when you're landing, and of course, just before you touch down, you can see it off to your left, and in so many ways, it's like it was yesterday, and Gloucester High School kids have been over there. The Docksiders have performed at the memorial at least once, as far as I know. But I'm sure for those, still surviving, and those people like me, and who had people, you know, my dad fought in the war and so on. It's a day we still honor.
Absolutely, and the NFL pregame show was broadcast from there yesterday on Fox. I didn't really watch a lot of it. I just happened to see it at the halftime and so on. So. It was nice that they were able to go over there and remember Pearl Harbor and show some of the videos, and they have a bunch of people there as well. So, as part of that was probably the bright spot of NFL action yesterday. As far as the football game concerned, yesterday, not so bright as things went sour for the Patriots. And I normally one of those things. I do tend to try to watch those post-game press conferences, but I ended up not doing it last night. Not because I was upset with the team. It's just that I think I was flipping around and watching some other things. And the president was on at that time, too, I believe. So, I missed those post-game press conferences, but I did watch the news this morning. And Brady took responsibility for it. And I think if there was any loss, well, there have only been two losses, but I don't think Brady was totally on his game last night or yesterday afternoon.
You know, Bill, I watched Channel 5 earlier in the week, and one of the sports segments, not Mike Lynch, made fun of Belichick praising Philadelphia's game and praising especially their special teams. And the videos just showed Philadelphia just making mistake after mistake after mistake, and, you know, the Patriots highlights. But, again, sports writers and people who just they think Belichick is just blowing smart, hot air at these conferences. They really need to listen, because the stuff he says, he's not saying it to blow people off. He's giving an honest opinion on how they look at their opponent. And obviously the Patriots had a stinker, but Philadelphia, how many times have I said this? They're football players too. They're in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think that when you look at it, that's what makes this last 15 years performance so remarkable, is that you face these guys, anybody can beat you, but the Patriots consistently win, and when they have a clunker, it's it's pretty bad, and they really did look bad yesterday.
I think too, I mean I may be wrong, and I'm not close to the team or pretend to be, but when you lose a game like you did last week, there's a couple of ways to rebound from it, and one of them is that you look around at your situation, you say, well, at least we don't have to worry about this undefeated thing. And then also, I think you look at your opponent and you watch the same television programs that you were watching, Rick, and you make an assessment as a player, and you go out there and, I hate to say it, but, it didn't look like they were going at 100% at times yesterday. And that's human nature, and that's the difficult piece about football, I think. And that Coach Belichick, and as you were mentioning earlier, Rick, how remarkable this run has been for the Patriots since Belichick and Brady have teamed up together, is they're consistently pretty effective. But you're going to have games like this. And then on top of it, you also have these injuries, and you have a sense that, okay, we're going to hold these guys out. They're not going to play Sunday because, it's Philadelphia, and we're going to – we win, we lose. It really doesn't make a huge difference, really, when you look at the picture, because we've had a great season so far. So I don't know. I just feel that it's that there was an intensity issue. Plus, again, I go back to the fact that Brady was throwing balls where he doesn't normally throw them, and that's right into the hands of defenders. And so that when that happens, and when special teams collapse, you know, sometimes there's a real fine line between winning and losing. I mean, they jumped up 14-0, but in that game, but I wasn't really impressed with what I was seeing. You know what I'm saying? You know, so. And then things fell apart from there, obviously.
Yeah. I think the shocker was special teams, and that's exactly what Belichick warned people about, you know, at his midweek press conference. So we'll see how they rebound. You know, it's a long season, a long way to go. And I just want to make a quick comment on Carolina. What a win yesterday for them.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But I remember the Patriots expending so much energy on the winning streak, and I'm wondering if Carolina is doing the same thing. And, you know, one of the things every single coach talks about is improving as you go along. And at this point, the Patriots really need to regroup and start improving again. But I just wonder, how much energy Carolina has spent to this point.
The other thing too, Rick, I'm glad you mentioned that, because they talk about that in one of the, maybe it's a pregame show or halftime, one of them about, well, you know, losing the game last week for the Patriots for their first loss of the season, is that a good thing? Can you benefit from that? And I think absolutely you can. And, you know, it does take a lot of pressure off. And you're right. I think, you know, maybe you know, in this day and age with this long, grueling NFL schedule and with the long, grueling NFL playoffs, I mean, you've got to win multiple rounds in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl. And then you got to be ready to go with the Super Bowl. So I think that there's something to that, too, that they're that this could kind of be a blessing.
One other point, Bill, I just want to mention quickly as a fan, I was alarmed at the ineffectiveness of the offensive line yesterday. That was disturbing. That was very disturbing. And I several times I'm wondering, geez, no wonder Brady can't put the ball on the money. So we'll have to see how that plays out too.
And right, I mean you're right again, Rick, in the sense that was problematic a week ago, and they've got to make sure Brady has the enough time to throw, and he gets rid of the ball so quickly as it is, so you know they've got to protect him. But on the other hand, maybe these receivers that he has are just not getting open at where he thinks they're going to get open to, and he lacks confidence. You look at some of those throws that he makes; they're pinpoint. You know, they are. You know, the patterns have to be perfect, and that it's a precision passing game, and he needs whatever time he needs that to effectively release the football. But those guys got to get open, and I think that's probably one of their problems. They're not able to get open as well as some of the other receivers. And you know, Amendola was back yesterday, but still, you know, it's just I got to think that it's going to be a building process.
And Belichick pulled a Pete Carroll yesterday, first and goal from the one. You know, give the ball to Blunt, for God's sakes, at least on first down. But, you know, it happens. As I said, we'll see how they rebound. We'll see what they're made of Sunday night.
Well, we got a couple of things here that we're going to stop with our Patriot talk here, move on to a couple of other things. Maureen Mullen in today's item has a story on the new football playoff alignments for high school. Let's not go into that today. I read it this morning, but it basically, I guess with the more divisions, you know, naturally teams are going to be shifting around divisions, but we'll talk about that some other time. But there is that is out with the new high school football playoff alignments. I also want to direct people down to the bottom of our post here today. We've got a couple of things up there, Rick. A few videos. We've been mentioning how we might have these holiday videos. Now, what we did here, our first video, we also have an event of the day, which is a craft fair in Boston, which goes on for a few days. But you'll see all the details there on the website, a holiday craft fair. But so it must be a pretty good, it sounds like it's a pretty good show. But we also have the, you're a big Star Wars fan, Rick, which I am not. But there's a house with lights set to Star Wars music. So you're going to love that, all right?
Absolutely. I'm a Star Wars fan and a Star. Yeah, bring it on.
And then we also have a video of a. This is there's a lot of train people out there. This is an actual video of a Christmas train or a holiday train up in Canada, the Canadian Pacific train. It's all lighted up. So it's kind of a neat little video. And I think it's current. And we also have Porky Pig singing It's a Blue Christmas.
which is probably, it to me, I mean, you've got Sinatra, you've got Bing Crosby for the holidays, but Porky Pig nails the it's a Blue Christmas. And so you might want to, you got to listen to that one. It's a great version, and it's actually a video. It's a live show that Porky did.
Okay. Before I mention Porky, just I have to clarify something. I am a Star Wars fan of the very first three movies that were ever put out. The next three, not so much with the CGI. My colorblindness makes CGI look like cartoons. And so, like, when I watch Titanic and movies like that, it looks like a coloring book to me. So I like the models, you know, back in Star Wars, the first three episodes back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. But anyway, Porky Pig, Bill, this generation and probably the generation even, you know, older than this, than the millennials, they don't have any idea who Mel Blanc was. And Mel Blanc, the voice of Porky Pig and all of Looney Tunes characters, he was one of the most talented performers, I think, in the history of Hollywood. He was called the Man of a Thousand Voices.
He was. He's done some, you know, that's, you know, maybe we could do something with Mel Blanc, too. I'm glad you mentioned that. He's got so many. There was a record I stumbled across. It's not the actual record, but playing around on the internet a few weeks ago, and there's a couple of, you know, right. This is Porky Pig singing, and it's Mel Blanc's voice. But there's a number of other things that he's done. You're right. So he's a pretty talented guy. And he was also a member of the Jack Benny Show cast.
And, oh yeah.
He did that famous routine with Jack. They did it obviously a number of times where it's.
With C and Sue,
and Sue and Sigh, and you know,
that's second only to Who's on First, I think.
Yeah, that's a great routine. It really is. And so we've got so maybe we could do that. And and please send us any reaction that you might have to us on our emails at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. And Rick, we've had. Unfortunately, we have some fire news to kind of go into from going from last week. And I know there was a recent house fire in Gloucester that we have posted up on the website. And maybe you want to pick up on that. And then I've got some follow-up from the fire in Lynn on Bruce Place from last week.
Yeah, and in getting serious, the fire over at Woodman Street was very difficult to get at because it's up in the woods. And the nearest fire hydrant is probably, well, I don't know, I'm just guessing, maybe half a mile away or more. On at the bottom of Wooden Street on Essex Avenue, so they had to pump water up there. They had to bring a pumper water truck, and they had to, you know, run hose quite a ways. But I guess the fire, excuse me, started with a propane leak in the basement. It's the home of a 75-year-old woman who was not there at the time. She was staying with her son. She has had some health issues, so thank goodness she wasn't there. The house was the basement was fully involved when the firefighters arrived on the scene. On Saturday afternoon, late Saturday afternoon. So the house may have to be demolished, but the good news is that, you know, there were no injuries and no pets were lost in that fire. And I'm looking to see if there's some kind of a relief fund being set up or if insurance is covering it or whatever. But for the time being, the woman will stay with her son. And the other really tragic story is Gloucester lost another fisherman, as everybody knows, last week. Everybody knows. Lost another fisherman at sea. David Sutherland passed away last week in an accident wherein the boat was lost. The fishing boat was lost. But the Gloucester Wives Association on Monday will establish a memorial fund to assist David Sutherland's three children and his grandchild, as well as funds for his two crewmen, who lost most of their possessions when the Oran Sea sank. Financial contributions to the Sutherland Children's Fund can be made at the TD Bank branch at 2 Harbor Loop in Gloucester. Also, age-appropriate Christmas gifts for the children and clothing for them and the surviving crew members may be dropped off at the Gloucester Fishermen's Wives Association office at 2 Blackburn Center in Gloucester. So the two addresses are 2 Harbor Loop, Gloucester for TD Bank, and you can make a donation to the Sutherland Children's Fund, or donations can be dropped off at the Gloucester Fishermen's Wives Association office, and that is at 2 Blackburn Center in Gloucester.
And the story out of Lynn, you remember the fire from last week at Bruce Place in Lynn, and that fire claimed the lives of four residents in a home. which apparently is a total loss. And there's a story in the item today about the follow-up and the folks needing some help, clearly, obviously, needing some help after that fire. I'm not seeing a place where to send things or send money to, but maybe that'll get set up later. It hasn't been a lot of time here. But the latest that I see in that news story is that the fire marshal still does not have a cause of the fire. But I did watch one of the news reports over the weekend. It didn't rule out foul play, which you hope it isn't. But on the other hand, you just you don't know. So we're going to be finding out more about that from, I'm sure, in the Lynn Fire Department in the next few days, and probably very soon, I would think, as they get back on the job and try to figure out that situation. But that's another one to be on the lookout for in the days ahead. We'll try to keep folks posted on that one as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for me, Bill. I just
you're out of
programming.
It,
huh? We've got North Shore. Yeah, we got North Shore Sports Night tonight, and we've got Trending Knowledge, Josh Arnold, on Friday at 10.
Yep. And so those are some of the things that we've got going for you here on the program. And again, if you've clicked down on our website, or if you just happen to be clicking on this broadcast, but we do have a number of other videos, and we do appreciate your contacting us, giving us an email at msonewsports@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter. We do update things throughout the day. We update our stories, but also we do follow with a number of other things as well. And we'll retweet different stories that we think are of interest. So it's a great way to kind of keep informed on a number of different things that are happening on the North Shore and beyond in the days ahead. So Rick, I guess
we should. I'm sorry, Bill, but we should mention Hanukkah began last night, and so we should wish Happy Hanukkah to those who celebrate that season.
Absolutely right, and so I know there was a lot of the candle lighting ceremonies last night in the around the area. So yeah, that's big news. Let me just see if there's anything else. That's pretty much it.
In the temple at Gloucester, up by the YMCA, they have a huge menorah, a giant menorah lit up. It's beautiful, so go by and take a look at that as well. It's really cool. And the Gloucester Lobster Trap Christmas tree was erected this weekend over near the fire station on Main Street.
And they do have a picture.
I'm sorry, near the police station. Excuse me, near the police station on Main Street.
And they do have a picture of Santa arriving. Santa's been arriving in a lot of different North Shore communities, and in Marblehead, he came in on a lobster boat, as he does in Gloucester too, right? Doesn't Santa arrive in a lobster?
No, it's Rockport. Rockport. He comes in a lobster boat by Motif Number One, and then in Gloucester, he arrives by fire engine, and in Salem, he arrives on the roof of the Hawthorne Hotel, and he's brought down by a fire engine. So, pretty magical time of year.
Wow, he's up on the roof at the Hawthorne Hotel,
yep.
Huh?
Yep.
Hmm. Wow. That's a different kind of a gig for Santa, huh? Oh my goodness! Yeah.
Pretty athletic guy for a big dude.
Yeah, you like to play Santa? Yeah. Okay, we're gonna stick you up on the roof of the Hawthorne Hotel, and then you take it from there, Santa. Okay, I think you could do it. Oh wow. All right. Well, there you go, Salem. That should draw more attention than it does, I think. Yeah. Oh well. All right. Well, that'll do it for us today. And with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsSports.com, and this is North Shore Today.